This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for June 23rd, 2020. I'm Derek Gilbert. As I was preparing for the broadcast today, I was alerted to a powerful earthquake that had just taken place off the coast of Mexico. This at 1529 UTC, that's 1029 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Preliminary magnitude estimated at 7.7. A tsunami warning has been issued for the coasts of Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras for within about 1,000 miles or kilometers, rather, 1,000 kilometers of the epicenter. This is a breaking story, so not something we can track easily here at Skywatch TV, just alerting you to it as this, again, taking place just as we were preparing for today's broadcast. Topic number five today, the summer of love, not so much in Seattle. Mayor there saying that officials will finally move in to wind down the CHAZ or the CHOP, depending on who you ask, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone or Capitol Hill Occupied Protest. It's the block-long stretch of Center City Seattle that's been under the control of protesters for the last couple of weeks. Mayor Jenny Durkan said at a news conference that the violence over the last several nights there was distracting from changes sought by thousands of peaceful protesters who want to address racial inequality, police brutality. This announcement was a turnaround for the Democratic mayor, who got a lot of criticism for allowing the protesters to take over part of the city, for abandoning a police station there, and then suggesting on CNN that the CHOP might become Seattle's version of the Summer of Love. Well, a 19-year-old man killed and a 33-year-old man still hospitalized after being shot Saturday night, a double shooting. Late Sunday, a 17-year-old boy was wounded in the arm in another shooting just outside the CHOP zone. And then early Tuesday, a 30-year-old man shot near the CHOP. He is expected to survive, but the Capitol Hill occupied protest about to be wound down. This is still better than the situation in Chicago, where sadly Father's Day weekend was the deadliest so far in 2020. Officials say the highest number of shootings over a single weekend so far this year. From Friday evening to Monday morning past, 102 people shot in Chicago, 14 of whom died, 5 of those killed were minors. At least at topic number four, in a sense, where fireworks now being considered a sinister plot by the government, by some progressive journalists. Seriously, this is a theory that is now floating around on the web. Obviously, with the 4th of July approaching, you're hearing fireworks, especially on weekends. This is a thing that happens every June across America. Well, some journalists appear to believe this is a conspiracy aimed at black and brown communities. Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times journalist Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project, that bit of shaky history that we've told you about on this program before, suggested that fireworks were part of a coordinated attack on black and brown communities by government forces. This is a Twitter thread that she shared. She didn't write it, but she retweeted it to her followers. An attack meant to disorient and destabilize the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement, end quote. According to this theory, which was articulated by Brooklyn author Robert Jones Jr., the government is providing large stockpiles of fireworks to young people in minority communities. This is being done to create a retaliatory backlash against calls to defund or abolish the police by putting fireworks in the hands of kids, disrupting neighborhoods, and then police refusing to respond to those calls. Okay. It sounds silly, but there are journalists who are taking this seriously. A CNN legal analyst, Asha Rangappa, former FBI agent, agreed that this is appears to not feel not so random. While most media figures are content to just complain and promote these conspiracies, one journalist, P.E. Moskowitz, announced he's launching an investigation into whether the extreme increase in fireworks is indeed a government program. No, it's just kids doing what kids do, which is blowing stuff up when they can get away with it. One of the blessings of living here in the Ozarks is when we hear stuff like that, even if it's gunfire, we know it's usually somebody taking aim at a coyote or an armadillo. Topic number three, the Trump-Biden debates. They are official. The Biden campaign confirming that former Vice President Joe Biden will debate President Trump 3 times between now and the election in November. Last week, several top Trump aides, including Rudy Giuliani, were pushing for a fourth presidential debate and insisting that they be held sooner so that people can make decisions. The Biden camp criticized the request for the fourth debate, pointing to the president's warnings about mail-in ballots and saying the insistence on more debates was a distraction. If nothing else, these should be really entertaining. And I honestly, I feel badly for the former vice president because his loss of cognition is pretty clear when you watch him in action. We may not find anything substantive in these debates because debates are usually just for show. Both sides, both all parties trying to, you know, come up with the zinger soundbite. But to quote the words of Josh Peck when referring to the election of President Trump, at least it'll be hilarious. Topic number two, weaponizing the crucifixion. Social justice and Black Lives Matter activist by the name of Sean King, former social justice editor for the New York Daily News, posted to his 1.1 million followers on Twitter that statues, paintings, and stained glass windows that represent Jesus as light-skinned or European should be torn down. To quote from his tweet, "Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim as Jesus should come down. They are a form of white supremacy, always has been. Tear them down." There's a meme floating around on social media that makes a similar point that says Jesus was a man of color who was innocent of any crime, killed by the police. This is a distraction. It would be easy to get angry about things like this because, quite frankly, they are historically and theologically devoid of fact. Characterizing the crucifixion of Jesus as an example of racial injustice misses the point completely. I mean, historically speaking, you read the gospel accounts and you learn that the white Roman governor might well have freed Jesus had it not been for the demands of the Sanhedrin and the screaming protest mob outside the governor's mansion, most of whom, if they were Israelis, Jews, were presumably, like Jesus, persons of color. But again, arguing that point misses the real reason for the crucifixion entirely. And that's what the enemy wants. And by enemy, I don't mean progressives. Ephesians 6:12. We're not wrestling against human opponents, but against principalities, powers, cosmic rulers over this present darkness, evil, supernatural intelligences who want to destroy us all. This conflict is not white-skinned people versus brown and black-skinned people. This conflict is humanity versus the spirits in the fallen realm. But these arguments are divisive, and that's exactly what is intended. This is a classic divide and conquer move. We are in a battle against these entities who want to destroy us and everything and everyone that we love. The creator of the universe is on our side if we will just let him be. In fact, he exercised the nuclear option on our behalf 2,000 years ago. We just need to accept that gift and accept him as Lord. By turning the crucifixion into nothing more than an example of racial injustice, we miss the theological point. By arguing the point and trying to point out the historical fallacy there, again, we're missing the point. This is not an argument over color. Reject it. Reject the paradigm. It's false. The premise is false. God is on our side. He's given us the ultimate weapon. And yet we have essentially dismantled it, and we're using the pieces to whack each other over the head. In Christ, we are all one, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Those who've rejected this free gift of salvation, rejected this free will sacrifice that Jesus made, he went to the cross willingly, could have called down legions of angels to stop it, but he did not, because that was his mission. Those who reject that sacrifice are outside the camp. But pray for them because Christ died for them too, even though they don't recognize it. Pray that their blindness is lifted. Coming up, is there anything coffee can't do? That's next on 5 and 10.
COVID-19 has changed everything. Because of the coronavirus, we can't bring the sold-out Defender Conference to Branson this year. So we decided if we can't bring the conference to Branson, we'll bring it to you instead. SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference is going virtual. If you thought you were going to miss out because you couldn't travel to Branson this year or because the conference sold out too quickly, now see and hear world-class speakers, cutting-edge presentations in the comfort of your own home. And to make it better, we're adding new speakers like Steve Quayle and New York Times best-selling author Joel Richardson. And don't miss what Tom Horn says will be his last conference presentation ever. Plus, we'll add all of the presentations from the 2019 Defender Conference, so you're getting two conferences for the price of one. Sign up now, SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference. Virtual, but bigger than ever. It goes live August 27th, 2020. For information and registration, log on to DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com.
Item number one today, coffee can save the species. And there are some mornings when I feel like that applies to me. But in this case, we're talking about yellow spotted monitors, the goanna of northern Australia. The species has suffered a catastrophic collapse in numbers thanks to the introduction of the cane toad, which appears to the yellow spotted monitor to be a really tasty treat, except that it's toxic. When threatened, the cane toads release poison from venom-secreting glands on their shoulders, and the lizards die. In some areas, the yellow-spotted monitor's population is down almost 97%. So researchers are trying to figure out how to save the species because it's an important predator in the ecosystem. Researchers from Macquarie University in Australia set out to discover which technique for sperm freezing and revival works best, apparently artificially inseminating the female yellow-spotted monitors. Anyway, they needed to develop a protocol. This isn't exactly something they've got a lot of experience with. It doesn't work quite the same way as with cattle, apparently. They found a novel and inexpensive way to revive the frozen sperm, that is injecting caffeine into the mixture. According to Lachlan Campbell, author of the study, we added caffeine to stimulate the sperm when we thawed them out, and to our delight, we saw a huge increase in the number of moving sperm after freezing and thawing. It turns out frozen lizard sperm need their morning coffee to get started just like us. You can see, he looks so happy. Coffee, it's the cure for what ails you, and apparently yellow-spotted monitors, too. This weekend, the Battle Ready Conference goes live. This is a virtual conference because of social distancing, travel restrictions, and so on. But thanks to video conferencing technology, there are interactive aspects to this conference as well. It starts at 9 o'clock Central Time on Friday morning, my presentation, the first one up. But you get a chance to see and hear from some great speakers, Sharon K. Gilbert, Drew Graffia, author of The Warrior Priest Mindset, Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, Pastor Carl Gallops, Brandon Gallops, Pastor Casper McLeod, Stephen Bankars, Jamie Walden, Ryan Peterson, and more. James Howells, a great lineup. And don't miss it. We'll have an opportunity through video conferencing technology to actually see each other face-to-face from a distance to find out more and to reserve your place. To log on to battlereadyconference.org. That's battlereadyconference.org. The SkyWatch TV Defender Conference, as you saw, going virtual as well. That goes live August 27th. Don't miss out. Log on to defenderconference.com to sign up for the virtual conference. We'll be back in Israel next year, God willing, April 18th through May 1st, the 2021 SkyWatch TV Tour of Israel Search for the Travelers, that being a term used in ancient Israel for demons because they traveled or crossed over from one plane of existence to another, used specifically of the Rephaim, in other words, the spirits of the Nephilim. We'll take you around Israel, show you sites that other tours will not. We will also ascend to the Temple Mount. It'll be during the month of Ramadan. Then the four-day extension over to Jordan. It's optional, but please join us for that because that's once in a lifetime. Climb Mount Nebo. We'll see what Moses saw from the summit of Mount Nebo, including the site of Sodom And we'll explain why that's spiritually significant. And then, of course, the Red Desert of Wadi Rum and Petra. Don't miss that. Find out more and reserve your place at Skywatch TV or Skywatch in Israel. That's the URL, skywatchinisrael.com. This week on Skywatch TV, a classic broadcast from 2015, as Tom Horn and Chris Putnam talk about their book, On the Path of the Immortals, Supernatural Portals. Are they real, and why does the Vatican seem so interested in them? Our broadcast schedule over the air is posted online, skywatchtv.com/channels. The show is also available now on our Roku channel, Apple TV channel, and Amazon Fire channel. Those are free, and we've got instructions on how to add those to your set-top box at skywatchtv.com. Look in the top menu bar there for the link, where you'll also find a link to download our free mobile app. Bring all of our programs right to your smartphone or tablet. Works for iOS and Android phones and tablets. Also, the Amazon Kindle Fire tablet. Bypass social media for news the mainstream media wants you to miss. All of that, a free download. We've got links to the app stores at skywatchtv.com. You'll find my stuff online at gilberthouse.org. And thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.